I need backup.
A rookie cop facing unspeakable evil.
There's something really wrong here. These things aren't dying. I just blasted this thing, and it's still alive.
One of the most anticipated games of 1998, Resident Evil 2. If the suspense doesn't kill you, something else will.
Everyone's gonna die.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're backtracking slowly away from zombies as we play Resident Evil 2 for the PlayStation by Capcom. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the cop that's only 2 days from retiring from the Raccoon City Police Force. It's Huell Hauser.
Imagine a normal Midwestern U.S. town built at the base of a vast forest. Business thrived here, especially with the advent of several new industries. Heck, you can't find a more peaceful wilderness getaway than Raccoon City. And then the trouble began.
Oh, wow. Oh boy, is that manual talk?
Oh boy, it is.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited already. And our other co-host, he's too old for this. It's Todd Brisket.
Something's wrong. Let's check it out over there.
this movie is, it's cinematic. It is so, yeah. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to yppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPP homepage, ypbpodcast.com. This week's game is Resident Evil 2. Released in 1998, Resident Evil 2 is the sequel to the original game. It's a third-person shooter, heavily story-driven, and it's survival horror. I had never really played this game series before, so I'm going to throw it to Todd Brisket first, because I bet he has a lot of knowledge about the old Biohazard series. Maybe?
Maybe. I mean, what a great all-time classic PlayStation game right here.
It really is.
I think some people rank this as one of the top PlayStation 1 games of all time, right? This is at the top. This is the upper
echelon. I'd say so.
Upper echelon of PlayStation
games. As an expert.
Games. Yeah. And as far as my Biohazard experience, this is where my Biohazard experience ends. I played the hell out of the first one. And I played the hell out of this one, and that is it. I was done with the series. But you don't need to do anything else after you play those first two games. And for people trying to look through our back catalog right now, no, we have never covered the first Resident Evil game.
We discussed doing it, and then we said, let's just play the second one
instead. I mean, the second one is actually, it's like a good version of the first game. That's insummation. That's what it is.
I guess it's so.
I mean, the only reason, I'll just touch on this very briefly, the only reason to play the first game first before playing this one is the incredible voice acting that they have in the first game.
That's the highlight. It's the room of video game dialogue.
Yeah, it is a sight to be heard, as they say. So Resident Evil 2, anyway, I did spend my time with this as a kid. I owned this one, I believe. I can't remember. It's been so long. This might have been one of the games I played. I burned a disc for. This is when I discovered piracy.
Todd, jeez.
That's when I was a kid and I didn't have money.
Come on.
I had to spend all my
mow some lawns
to buy food at McDonald's. That's all I had money for.
That's a good point.
But, this is, survival horror at its PlayStation peak. This is the best of the era. So let's check out the story a little bit here in the intro so we can get a feel of what's going on. So you start the game and you can select to play as either Claire Redfield or Leon. I didn't write his name down. I forgot what his name is.
Kennedy.
Leon Kennedy, who is a policeman. And you choose who you want to play as in the game. Mm-hmm. And this is what is really cool about this game is that it has two different storylines.
Right.
When you play as Leon, So whenever you pick somebody to play as, that is your A storyline. And so if you pick Leon to play as, you are Leon A, and you play through the game, and then you can play Claire B, and you play from another perspective through the game. And it's mm-hmm. it's a interesting little story nugget that this game has, where you can play through it multiple times and see different pieces that you wouldn't see before. There's occasion, well, you know, just off the bat, they meet, they run into some zombies in Raccoon City because of course, the events of the first game. The entire town is zombies now for some reason. They're both, Claire's looking for her brother, Chris Redfield, who is one of the people in the first game. And Leon is just coming to work, his first day on the job as a Raccoon PD.
Little copperoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll go see what's going on here. Maybe I'll bust some perps. Maybe I'll hang out with the kids and tell them not to skateboard on the sidewalk. But no, hey, it's a zombie outbreak. First day on the job. So they run into each other running from zombies, and they get into a car, and there's an explosion that happens. I think a truck runs into
them. Well, this is one of the greatest opening sequences, sure. I think, in video game history.
Yeah, you seem to have a little bit more. I just kind of like glaze over when I watch these cutscenes. Oh, yeah.
But, I played it again this week. In the beginning, we see a truck driver has been bitten by what he calls some maniac. He's like, what a crazy guy. He tried to bite me. This is nuts. So naturally, he just keeps driving and on his route. So later on, we meet when Leon and Claire are running from zombies. They get in the car. They're driving away. They're like, man, what's going on? Everyone's going nuts. So the truck driver has become a zombie driving a gas truck, like a gasoline tanker.
Mm-hmm. And so as we all know, zombies don't know how to drive sticks.
No, I don't think they know how to drive automatics. Oh. So he's careening down the road, runs the cop car off the road. But Claire and Leon jump out right before the truck hits them. So then the truck comes through and explodes. Somehow they survive. But the truck is separating them like in this alleyway, so they can't meet up. So they're like,
which is like,
let's go. Yeah.
If that happens in real life, it's like a 1 in a billion chance that this truck lands perfectly to where you
perfectly
just cannot walk around it.
Yeah. Around it or through the door on the other side and just like meet up somewhere.
Yeah. So they have to split off on their own paths.
Leon immediately is like, leave and go to the police station. And I don't think Claire's ever been here before, so I don't know if she knows where the police station is, but apparently she finds it. It's a huge landmark of Raccoon City.
Yeah, and depending on who you choose to play, like that's you the actions you take do have some effect on the other player's story, which is like there's occasions where you'll be walking around and find a locker that has like a gun and some bullets in there. Well, if you take everything, when your other B counterpart story comes along to that same area, there's not going to be anything left for them, and they won't have any gun or bullets. So you have to kind of figure out where those overlaps are.
Yeah, when you start the story over again, you use the same game file, so it saves whatever you did as the A story for when you play as the other character.
Oh, I didn't realize that there was that wrinkle in this. That's kind of cool.
This is a great game, guys.
Yeah, it's dated, but I was enjoying this. I played it for about close to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I was not very good at it, mm-hmm. but I feel like it wasn't impossible. I feel like it's one of those games where I could have gotten better at it if I hungered down.
Right. If you're used to modern games, the learning curve is very steep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the biggest hurdle, I think, is it has a distinctive kind of control scheme, which is probably a fact of probably because at the time, I think there was just the D-pad on the PlayStation controller, correct?
Yeah, the OG PlayStation controller was just a D-pad.
Yeah, so it feels like, I don't know, I even tried to map to the analog stick for this game, and it didn't really help. I found it was easier just to use the D-pad anyway.
Yeah, just use the D-pad. Yeah, this is a relic of his time, and I like to call it. I don't know if this has ever been called this before, so I'm going to claim credit for this.
Ooh.
You're a walking tank. It's like tank controls. You go up to go forward, and then left and right. You turn left and right, and then back to go back. It's kind of an adjustment because you have to spend an extra half a second thinking about, oh, I actually have to angle myself in the correct way to shoot this zombie instead of just pointing at it.
And it's not only that, it's that these are pre-rendered backgrounds with a fixed perspective.
Yes.
So you have to add that layer to thinking about where I need to turn and how I need to walk forward, because I'm looking at this from above myself at an angle where Leon is facing me. So it's like, what do I push to make him go where I want to go? But it takes some getting used to, but there is a point where you get used to it at some point.
Yeah, and it definitely, once you do get used to it, it makes sense as you're running through screens in that the angle changes on every screen. So
exactly.
If you have to hold right to go right, as soon as you hit that next screen, right is no longer right. It's like up and at a different angle. So if you just have forward as your walk, then you're always going the same direction.
Right. If you just hold up, then you're always going forward. So the controls make sense in the context of how the game is laid out, or I guess the, I don't know if you call it the visuals, but I guess just the perspective.
Yeah. Okay, it kind of feels like you're playing a horror movie in a way.
Cuts and angles and stuff.
Yeah, the quick cuts are kind of cool. It's definitely a game that relies on, you know, jump scares. Like, you round that corner and suddenly, oh, there's three zombies coming toward you.
Or hands pop out of the window.
Yeah, yeah.
Me a few times.
The biggest problem I had was, so early in the game, as I was slowly learning how to play, like, I got knocked down to, like, basically almost zero health. And then I couldn't. I know there has to be items. I think they're called herbs to restore your health. And herbs. So I got to the police station. I got to the police station. I managed to get the key card. I managed to save my game. Even found one of them ribbons. But then I round the corner, and now there are like these weird licking enemies after
they're
me.
They're called lickers.
Okay. So I figure out, oh, they're like T-Rexes. If I just stand here, they can't find me. But I couldn't take more than one hit from them. One hit killed me because I had so little health, and I could not kill them before they killed me. So I kind of got stuck at that one point. And then we had to start the show, so I couldn't scour the area.
You played for 2 hours, and that's where you got to.
Well, I was pretty bad at the beginning. So,
that's true. If you're trying a few times, get used to it. I understand.
Yeah, like I don't know how far into the game that is. It has to be not that far.
No,
because I know that there are also other weapons like shotguns and that kind of stuff.
Well. I understand that you're a noob, but you could have got the shotgun when your friend in the shop got killed early on.
What? It was there?
Yeah. It's buried under his corpse.
Oh, well, that would probably mean I'd have to, like, kill those zombies that were munching on his face.
Yeah, you would have.
No, I was not skilled enough to kill zombies, really. I figured out, like, after dying like 5 times in 20 minutes to start the game, at that point I figured out, oh wait, these zombies are slow. I can just run past them.
Yeah, a lot of the time, especially early on, you do want to run past them. So I understand that. Maybe it's just because I knew about the shotgun, so it's like you can get that.
Yeah, if I
then if that I know, that liquor things, you can get it in 2 shotgun blasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this game and this series, at least the first 2 games that I played, they accidentally implement the not enough ammo trope, whereas like you only
it's not an act. It's on purpose.
Yeah, it's on purpose. They don't want you to go out and just murder every zombie you see. You gotta run around them. You gotta avoid them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of got that feeling after I ran out of bullets in like the second screen.
What?
Like, because even on the second screen, I think there's like four zombies, and you only start with 15. I think 15 bullets.
You should have a box. What'd you start on, like hard?
No, normal.
Oh, I guess so.
Like you basically, if you scavenge bullets, like you normally find a clip of them, which has 15. It could also be, because I was running, there probably were other places to scour, to like scavenge up bullets, and I just didn't find them.
I mean, not that super early part. I think there's like a box on the bus or something, but I mean, yeah, you don't want to start off shooting all the zombies, so I get that. Mm-hmm. But once you get to the gun shop, you can take some time killing those because there's ammo boxes there too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found an ammo box or two in the gun shop, but then once he was getting his face eaten off, I was like, well, he's dead. I can hear him. I obviously can't save him. I'm just going to go out this door and not even worry about the zombies.
What I liked about him is he was super paranoid when you walk in. Like, he's got the shotgun trained on you, and he's like, whoa, 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 I'm a human, don't worry. And then after you're inside, he goes and locks the door. So I'm like, why wasn't it just locked? Why are you just waiting behind the counter, waiting for someone to walk in? And now you lock the door. And then he dies anyway, so maybe it didn't matter.
He's the true hero of Resident Evil 2. If not for him, the game could not take place.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's the one that he distracts the zombies so Claire or Leon can escape.
I guess in a way,
meaty body.
In a way, without him locking the door, it allows Leon to progress through to the police station. So yeah, without him being dumb, this game would not exist. But I mean, the whole low ammo and low healing items thing is the survival part of the survival horror genre. I mean, otherwise, it's just a horror game, or it's just Doom or something.
Yeah, shoot 'em up horror. It's not a karate horror.
No. It's not karate even horror. It's not even baseball horror. It's survival horror.
Mm-hmm.
Horror. Mario horror games.
Yes. The human torch was denied a bank loan.
Indeed. So yeah, as we all know, I was not one that owned a PlayStation. I had friends that had them, so I would always see the Resident Evil games and had fun with them. But in 1999, the N64 got a port of Resident Evil 2.
Oh!
This was my first foray into fully playing a Resident Evil game.
Ooh, how was that one?
It's pretty much a direct port. Like, there's nothing limiting. Like, it even has, like, voice acting and, I mean, compressed, but still visible.
Did they tighten up the graphics? Did they tighten up the graphics?
The in-game graphics are tightened up, but the full motion video, I guess it just had to be compressed because it's on a cart. It's not as clear, but it's still fine. Like, you can still tell what's going on. It's not like pixelated or anything, but
yeah.
I mean, still has all the voice acting. Like, it has all of it, which is rare for an N64 game.
Didn't they have some unique game modes or something too for that? Or
I probably could have looked that up. But it has like the dual storylines and all that stuff. I mean, it has, I guess, more save slots maybe because it's on the cart. But I don't know if the N64 had anything specifically different.
Oh, here's what I was thinking. Which I saw reference to. It has a randomizer to place items differently during each playthrough.
Okay. That makes sense.
Also, alternate costumes, the ability to adjust the degree of violence, and you could change the blood color.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, when I first started it, because I that's what I played it on this week. I still have it. It defaults to, like, blue, the blood. That's because it's Nintendo. So you have to specifically change it to red if you want it to be just, like, zombie blood.
Oh, and like there's
blue, green. The old Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also one other thing. Additionally, the port features 16 new in-game documents known as the X-Files.
Oh, yeah. That was a big selling point for me, being able to read more. I was really into that. So I was happy that I could get that on the N64.
That's how you got your parents to buy it for you, is because,
yeah.
Hey, Mommy, so just, look, this one's like a book. I can read a book.
I can read things. I did a book report on it, actually. It's just pretty much a straight port, so that was really good. Which is rare between PlayStation and Nintendo having, like, a cross-platform game back in the 90s.
Yeah, especially since the mediums were so different.
Yeah, it probably took some work to to get that one going.
Apparently, according to Wikipedia, it took 12 months and a budget of $1 million to port it, which for back then was a pretty significant.
Yeah, $1 million's just like what most games would take to develop from the scratch, you know, which is probably what they had to do, is just redevelop it pretty much.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And
it's not even a port. It's just a doing it again. Yeah, because this came out in 98, and the N64 one was in 99. So, to me, it didn't. I don't remember it being that soon afterwards. But I guess it was only a year later that it came out, which is cool. It's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. Also, this it had a $5 million advertising campaign, and as a result, on its first weekend, 380,000 copies, and it grossed $19 million.
So, for the N64 one?
No, for the it broke the previous sales records held by Super Mario 64 and Final Fantasy VII.
Wow.
And it sold about 5 million copies overall on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, as Todd kind of said earlier, it takes what the first game did and just does it better. And it's one of the probably best sequels in video games also. Of achieving that, of just taking what people liked about the first one and just improving it pretty much in every way.
Yeah, I even enjoyed, like, stuff down to, like, the puzzles in the in the police headquarters. It's a little bit more intuitive how you solve them rather than just randomness of the first game where you're walking around that mansion.
Happening to find the right key or something.
Oh, is the first game one of those games?
Yeah, it's a mansion. So it's like a lot of, I mean, this one's a lot of exploration, especially once you get to, like, the PlayStation or, like, the lab later on. It's like, it's a lot more open, there's a lot more locations, but a lot of the locations are, like, mini mansions, I would say, from the first one.
McMansions?
Yes, McMansions, as you will. Mm-hmm. As most people called them. Resident Evil 2. McMansions.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know. I quite like this one. Even the acting is so cheesy, but that just makes it better to me. Like,
yeah.
Like,
it's
really
better than the first, but still pretty corny, which is kind of like, it's kind of like a trope of this series.
Like, you can tell that they are being genuine. Like, they think they are making a scary movie.
Yeah.
Which in turn makes it funnier to me. Like the actual gameplay is still kind of, I still find myself a little scary when, like, a monster would leap out at me. But like, between that, all the cutscenes were, I enjoyed them immensely.
Sure. It's just like a typical Japanese anime style cutscene show, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's
cheesy,
Capcom.
Cheesy dialogue. And, and, you know, it's not winning, what are they called? IGN Jeez. Awards of the year for best actor. Right, James Franco is not going to win his next Oscar award because of this game. But
next,
But yeah, it's just an enjoyable. It's a game where the cutscenes are. This is the game where the cutscenes are enjoyable to watch on YouTube by itself.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'd recommend even just watching that opener to see that zombie truck driver. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and the cop, I guess the cutscene with the cop who's dying in the locker room.
You mean fake Danny Glover?
Yeah.
I was 1 week away from retirement.
Damn zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't come back for me.
He holds a gun on you to make you go away. He's like, stop trying to rescue me. And he pulls his gun out. I'm like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Like this is like mild craziness compared to the rest of the game. This is only in the first 30 minutes of the game.
Which is pretty great. Yeah, I got through a little bit of this police station. And I was like, I remember how this goes. So yeah, it's one of the rare games I beat. I'd actually beat this game, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
When I was a YouTube.
So, I was not good at this game, but I could feel myself getting better. Like,
sure.
The difficulty was not unfair. It wasn't punishing.
No, it's like you could tell, like, oh, I should have done this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, if I just restart, maybe I'll get a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, the only pet peeve I actually had was the fact that the cutscenes are not skippable. So
it's a good point.
Like when I would die and go back, like I had to watch like some of these cutscenes over and over again.
Yeah, the beginning is a little long. It's probably like 4 minutes or something.
Yeah.
If you restart, it's like you got off to a bad start. Mm-hmm. That's it's a little annoying. Especially because it encourages replays.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you want to fully play through the game, you have to watch that thing 4 times.
Yeah. Did I miss, like, an earlier save point or anything? Or is the first one...
That's the first one you find in the PlayStation.
That's a good, like, half hour into the game.
Well, for you. But, I mean, that is another limitation in this game, which... I guess it's just intentional because of the survival part, is there's save points. And there's not only save points, you have to have an item, the ink ribbons, in order to save on the typewriters. Which is annoying, but like once you're used to it and once you understand like that's the style of the game and like that's the intent of it, I mean, I guess I understand. Like it makes dying matter more because you're going to be back, pretty far if you're it's been a while since you decided the typewriter.
They don't want people to pull the old the Steve maneuver, as they call it.
Yeah, the Greenwell maneuver.
Greenwell. Yeah.
Which I'm sure made him furious this past week.
Well, I was playing this game, my legal copy of the game, on an emulator. So I did have access to save states, but I quickly realized, like, you have to be careful with them because you could... save state yourself into like a bad situation.
Absolutely.
So
live by.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I enjoyed this one. This is a good one. Huel, how was the manual? I know that you read from it at the beginning.
I don't have the N64 one, so luckily I found the original PlayStation manual. It's fine. Like, we're in the era now where manuals are starting to kind of lose their novelty, lose their luster. Like, it's pretty straightforward. It has that little, like, there's more to that prologue in the beginning, but it's like one page, one PlayStation manual page, which is pretty small. It just gives you all the normal options. There's some character profiles for four of the main characters, a few survival tips, but it's just pretty basic. So all in all, it's also black and white, which sucks. That's unacceptable for a PlayStation manual.
That is kind of odd.
As high profile as this, you'd think it'd be all fully colored.
What were they doing? They knew they had a big game on their hands. So all in all, it gets a 2 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Mm. Ooh.
It's below average.
Disappointed in this one.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
There's PlayStation manuals that are much better. So it's not like it's a limitation of the genre. The genre of PlayStation manuals. Like Metal Gear Solid, great PS manual, Final Fantasy VII. There's some good ones. But this one, very lackluster.
Mm, they poured all that money into
acting.
Acting and advertising.
Which acting?
Mm-hmm. Now, Huel, did you want to send me?
Oh, yeah. Todd, you can start, but you might want to ask him the question.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're about to ask me.
It's weird.
Okay. Todd, how many DuckTales for Resident Evil 2?
Ooh. The DuckTale scale factors in two things. Those being,
I already think I'm too low.
Those being nostalgia and replayability. For me, nostalgia is pretty high. I put my time into this one. I love running around and popping them zombies in their domes. So that's pretty high. Replayability, replayability is here. It holds up to this day.
It's built in. It's built into the game.
You have multiple storylines. Yeah. Not only that, we barely touched on the story so far, but multiple playable characters. So there's a lot you can do in this replayability-wise. All that being said, the only thing that is hindering it at this point is that it's a long game. I don't have time to put in on these long games nowadays. I like quick and poppy. Pop it on. Pop it on. Hit some pogo sticks with Scrooge McDuck. And pop off, excuse me. All that being said, this is clocking in at a 0.71 DuckTales.
Oh, so close, Huel. So close, Huel.
Steve, would you like to reveal my guess?
Huel guessed 0.8.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was not factoring in length, which we all should do more often.
That factors into the replayability is the modern day replayability.
Even if the replayability is there and built in, if it's too long, you just might not want to.
Right. It's not something to say, hey, little Timmy Jr., come hop on my lap. Let's pop on some old Resident Evil. No, you don't do that. You do that with DuckTales, not with this one.
Yes.
I
didn't know playing with Jimmy Jr. was a factor of replayability.
Well, I mean, you got to factor in all of those factors when you're factoring.
Of course. Factor.
But what was I going to say? I wanted to say this.
Please.
Umbrella Corporation.
Mm.
Excellent name for an evil corporation.
Yes, I love it.
What do they do? I don't know. They're an umbrella corporation. They could be making candy bars and, drilling for oil or something. I have no idea. They're just an umbrella corporation.
You know what they do? They make the T-virus, which turns people into zombies.
I always like when in all of these movies and stuff, like when it's like, oh, what are their products? And it's like, oh, they just make viruses and money.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do in their underground lab. I'm sure on the surface they're making candy, like Todd suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Government-funded candy.
Yes. The Umbrella Corporation. No, it is an all-time classic video game company, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially because there's 40 of these games.
Oh, yeah, I was going to get into that in just a minute. And also, the other game that I've mentioned like 80 times on here that I couldn't help but think of as I played this, just because I played it first before any Resident Evil game, of course, was Parasite Eve.
Where
I'm like, oh, no wonder people were not as impressed with Parasite Eve as I was.
Yes,
because
isn't that one? It's been a long time since I've played Parasite Eve, but isn't it like a half RPG game where you level up?
Oh, it's like fully RPG. Like it's like a lot of numbers, like you shoot monsters and numbers come out of their heads.
Nice.
So
that's my kind of
very RPG
horror there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that one is like you know, full RPG elements, where Resident Evil is, you know, you have an inventory, but that's about it. Like, that's the strategy aspect.
Are you saying inventory is exclusive to RPG games?
No.
Okay. I'm saying that's the only overlap between them.
Yeah.
You have a health hurts. Meter, I guess.
That's every game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just touch on the old history of this series. It has continued. There are 9 main installment games, along with another dozen or so spinoff games. This doesn't include that pretty much every game in the series has been re-released on multiple platforms, with one Kotaku writer determining it was the most ported game series ever by a pretty large margin. So.
I guess so. I know there's PC versions.
Like Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers for the NES seems like it'd be up there. But I guess Resident Evil.
Well, they're saying series.
Oh, series, okay.
Two is all over the place. Four, I know four has been on five different platforms.
I got a contender.
Oh.
Against that.
Please.
Pac-Man. That's on every system ever made. It's on the Amigas, it's on the ZX Spectrums, it's on everything.
I'll have to find out what their criteria was, but I think it may have just been like the number of games in a series, how often they had been ported.
If you have 9 of them and they're each on like 3 different platforms, I don't think Pac-Man's beaten that.
But really, we're talking like 6 or 7 different platforms.
I know. I'm just trying to like average it out. Because, six, Resident Evil 6, that didn't go anywhere.
Oh, right. Resident Evil 2.
Was that the racist one?
No, it's 5.
Okay.
Resident Evil 2 came out for PlayStation, Windows, PC, N64, Dreamcast, and GameCube.
GameCube.
And then there's also a version for the Game.com handheld.
Wait, did you see Resident Evil 4 was on GameCube?
No, 2.
2. Wow.
Yes. So, like, all of these games ended up on multiple systems. That's not even including there's a remake of the original as well.
Oh, and a DualShock. Probably said that.
Oh,
like,
no.
That's like a remake of the PlayStation 1 that uses the DualShock controller.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just the analog version.
Yep. There was also supposed to be a Sega Saturn version, which was canceled. And let's see. The original looks like it came out for everything as well. Jesus.
Pretty much.
So.
Todd's going to have to fight someone down at Kotaku.
Yeah, I mean, even factor in like all the... like. Pac-Man came out on every Nokia phone ever created,
still.
There's a lot of Pac-Mans out there. That's my argument.
I mean, you could say Tetris is probably on every phone. Like, does that count?
I guess.
Snake. The snake game.
Well... Todd, I think you had one more segment you wanted to get to, right?
I do, but just before we get there, we didn't even finish out the story for this game. Which...
Oh, go ahead.
We'll just keep it brief, because I can't remember all the spicy details. It gets pretty nutty at times.
And I have the plot from Wikipedia here, so let me know if you need any help.
Sweet. All right, so...
It's very... When
you're either Claire or Leon running through the town trying to find your companions, you get chased by this guy. He seems like he's acting like a robot, and he's chasing you down. And you have no idea what's going on with that guy. He's just chasing you. You can't kill him. You shoot him, it'll stun him, but he'll keep coming after you. That's one bad guy. The main bad guy, which is on all the covers, and if you look up this game... he's in every picture. It's a huge dude that has an eyeball for an arm. And I don't have his name handy, but it's like William Barkin or something like that?
Birkin.
Mm-hmm.
Birkin. And he is an evil doctor that works for the Umbrella Corporation. And there's people trying to steal the G virus. And the first game is the T virus, which makes you into zombies.
Of course, of course.
They created the G virus, which turns you into like mutants. And they tried to take it from him. This evil government came in and shot up the whole lab. But he's like, no, they're not taking it from me. And as his dying act, he injected himself with the G virus and became this huge mutant dude with an eyeball for an arm.
Yeah, that eyeball arm is iconic.
Is iconic, yeah. And he's chasing you around the whole game. And every time you fight him, he has a new mutation. Like the first time you fight him, he's just got the eyeball. Or no, he's just buff. He's just a buff dude. Next time you fight him, his eyeball pops out and opens up, and he gets some spikes growing out of him. He just gets beefier and more mutated every time you fight him. You can never kill him. And he's chasing you down. And you find out he's chasing you down. He's not chasing – is he really chasing you down? But he's trying to find his daughter, Annette, I believe is her name.
Sherry.
Annette is the mom.
Annette.
Sherry, who's a little girl of about 10 years old. She becomes a playable character at some point where you have to run away from stuff. And he's trying to chase her down because, hey, guess what? Daddy wants to impregnate you, and make you into a mutant mommy yourself.
Mm-mm.
So that is that part of that game. You also run into somebody named Ada Wong, who is an undercover double agent trying to get her own copy of the G virus. And of course, Leon and Ada fall immediately in love after meeting each other for 5 minutes and they, spoiler alert for the super end of the game. She dies, and they have one final kiss.
Or does she?
That is pretty much the summary of the game. Like the very high level stuff. Anything else you want to throw in there?
That other guy that you say is chasing you is the tyrant. It's like the tyrant. Another mutated person that's just like unstoppable. It's just like that classic like unstoppable monster. Birkin is the main bad guy. He gets mutated. It's nuts. I mean, before we started this a few days ago, I think you said it's only topped in nuttiness by the Metal Gear series.
Yeah, that is true. Like, Metal Gear tops it in just like you don't even understand what's going
Pure.
On.
It's impossible to follow.
Yeah, and the Dr. Birkin, his final mutation is pretty cool. It's like you're trying to escape on a train, but it turns out he also got onto the train, and his final mutation is to like turn into a huge mouth and just eat the entire cabin. And so he's chasing you as a huge Sarlacc pit down the train. So that's pretty cool.
It's fun. Yep. So it's the old mutating boss trope. It's the old unstoppable monster trope. It's a lot of good stuff put into one game.
Yeah, there's other bosses in there. You fight a giant alligator at some point.
Some plants or something. Some
plants, yeah. But they're inconsequential to Dr. Birkin.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to mention my favorite part of the opening movie, which is when Leon says to Claire, "Open the glove box. There's something you'll like in there." And it's a gun. And it's like, you just met this girl. You're giving her a gun? Like, you don't know anything about her. That seems dangerous.
World. It's a dangerous world that he's already in. I mean, he's got to be dangerous to survive.
Now, we should mention in passing that there is a movie series as well, and I think we might cover that at some future date.
Mm-hmm.
We're still spitballing some ideas, but I have a feeling we will circle back to that at another time. Just in case anyone was wondering about it. And one other thing is Claire is voiced by Allison Court, who you might recognize from a little TV series called X-Men, the animated series, where she voiced Jubilee.
Oh.
Wow.
Yep. Classic great, great magnet moment from the 90s, I suppose. So, and she was also in Sesame Street Presents Follow That Bird. So really,
nerd dream girl of the 90s. Jubilee, yep, and Claire Redfield.
Yep, and she is 44 now. So
oh, she's still young.
like a fine wine.
Mm-hmm. Well, Todd, I understand you have a little segment.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. You know, we like this game well enough. One of the best PlayStation 1 games of all time. I will put it up there saying that. Mm-hmm. I'll go out on a limb saying it is one of the best PlayStation 1 games of all time, as controversial as that may seem. But I have a couple reasons here. Not only is it the best PlayStation 1 game of all time, it is the most best game of all time. All right. And the first one is titled 5 Stars.
Oh, the title, wow.
The title is 5 Stars by Spoiler. Amy Sky. Written June 29th, 2014. And Amy writes, one of the best survival horror games of all time. If you don't know, now you know. 5 stars.
Wow.
Oh.
Cribbing some biggie there.
The next one is titled, What I Think of This Game. And it's written by Anonymous, but they left their name at the end. I don't know why they're trying to hide. And it's written May 20th, 1999. So this is pretty soon after it came out, I guess. Within 5 years, I guess. When did this come out? I completely missed that.
98.
Oh, it's written a year after it came out. Maybe, yeah. He's playing it right. He's in the thick of it.
Oh, yeah. It's prime.
This is his review. I think that in the bull, it should tell you what ranking level you should get to get all of to secrets. And I also really don't think that someone is going to beat this game under 3 hours. I have all three Resident Evils, and the closest that I gotten to coming to beat the game under 3 hours is 3 hours and 35 minutes. So I think that instead of starting the game out with the rocket launcher, which you could already do if you played the second game, I think that when the person puts in the girl disc and when Se goes to the locker, I think that she should strip done for the person who is playing. I mean, full picture, nothing on her, cool nothing picture. On her but her flesh. That can only happen, though, if someone beats the game under a D ranking and beats the game as the guy under 5 hours. Thanks for your game, and I hope that you take my suggestion into deep thought. Thanks, Danny Gordon. 5 stars.
5 stars Danny even Gordon? Without that feature. Wow.
Danny Gordon or Danny Glover?
Danny Gordon.
Or oh. D. Gordon. Danny Glover. Not like Danny Glover talked this episode.
He's not too old for that, for playing Resident Evil 2 or seeing someone stripped down in a locker room.
Stripped down. To her flesh.
Nothing on but her flesh.
I'm worried about you, Danny.
Oh, I'm not. He sounds like a sweet baby boy.
Probably. Hope he's a listener.
So, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one this week?
No. We hit everything. This is, you know, this is a classic of a game. If you haven't played it, pick it up, put it in, sit back, enjoy. You'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm. 5 stars.
0.71
DuckTales.
Huel, anything else you want to say about this one?
It's usually the kind of thing I mentioned in passing at the end, but great sound design. And the sound is actually very useful in this game because a lot of the times you'll enter a room and the camera is facing you, so you can't see what the hell's in the room. So you have to kind of listen to hear if there's zombies and like carefully.
Yeah, you can hear them munching on something on the other side of the room.
Yeah, so great zombie sounds, great like death sounds and
very atmospheric.
Brain squishing. Yeah. and all the other creatures, and what else was I going to say? Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Good sounds.
Mm-hmm. And Wikipedia or somewhere else I looked helpfully pointed out, if there's like ambient music, it means that there's a zombie in the room or there's something in the room.
It's usually pretty quiet most of the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other thing it mentioned was other little tip and trick is there's only ever one type of monster on the screen. So if there are zombies, if there are zombies in an area, you won't see lickers, and vice versa.
Yeah,
they don't get along. So,
they keep themselves segregated.
Yes.
I mean, zombies eat brains, and the lickers have those exposed brains. So they're like, they want to stay away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, guys.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And then those other monsters have their exposed gray brains.
Yeah, the other one. Exactly. Don't want those getting munched on either.
The ones I didn't get to because I wasn't good enough at this game.
Got one over your head there.
Yeah. Let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Oh, excuse me. You know what?
I caught him by surprise there.
You know what? I did.
Oh.
It's from a new writer. And this one's titled, Am I Too Old to Get an Xbox? I'm 33, and I spent the last 15 years of my life bettering myself. I got a college education, 6 years in school, worked many jobs, and started many businesses. I'm at the point now where I had a spiritual awakening, reconnected with Jesus, and now I'm at the point where I just want to live my life. I've lived very frugal in the last 15 years, and I've been working so hard, I never had time for anything fun, literally never really having a day off. So now when I entertain these ideas, I know it's a waste of time, but I say to myself, why not? In my spare time, I usually read articles about self-improvement, but you can only read so much, you know, LOL, and I have plenty of hobbies. From JesusFreak69 at AOL.com.
Well, Mr. Freak, you're asking the wrong guys. I think we're all going to say buy that effing Xbox. Or even a PlayStation.
Yeah, buy a PlayStation. Treat yourself.
Yeah, if this is a recent email, which I assume it is, I'd probably go for the PS4 over the Xbox Uno.
Mm-hmm.
An owner of neither system.
Oh, just from my it seems like this generation, is there anything exclusive to the Xbox that's worth picking up?
Yeah, I mean, not really, but there's and stuff.
There's a few exclusive to the PlayStation that would probably be better.
Yeah, like I'm thinking like the Last of Us is pretty cool.
Yeah. Uncharted. And
here's what I'm thinking.
The this show
guy, this guy baseball. Pick up, he should pick up a discount Wii and play some Wii baseball.
Yeah, maybe ease into it a bit. If it's been 33 years of hard work, you might not want to just hop right into Dark Souls or something.
Oh, here's what he could do. He should go and find a Nintendo and NES, a NES as they say in the UK, and pick up a copy of Bible Adventures and put that on.
Oh, man. Of course.
And then go back first, and listen to our episode about it.
I would listen to our episode first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just to know what you're getting into. And then, yeah, pick up Bible Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get used to that blue cartridge, though. You're not going to see it again.
Well, Huel, did you get a mail this week?
I did. I got an email.
Oh.
This email says, Dear YPB, loved your Little Mermaid show last week. I'm glad you guys are spreading mermaid awareness. More people need to know about this growing section of society. I myself identify as a mermaid, so I can only hope more exposure can lead us to be more accepted by society. I'm planning on getting elective fishtail surgery later this year, but most of my family are furious. They think it's a terrible idea, but I think it's great for me and will allow me to live as my true self. It made me wonder, what's a video game that other people think is bad, but you think is good? This is from XXFishman54XX at yahoo.com. So yeah, his family thinks being a mermaid is bad, but he thinks it's good. So that translates directly into video games.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean,
one that comes to mind for me, which I'm sure most of you have already thought of for me, is Shaq Fu. I think this is an excellent fighting game, which everyone else seems to hate. With no reason.
Wow.
I would say that's an okay game for its time, but I mean, even I'd much rather play like Street Fighter on PlayStation than Shaq Fu.
Yeah, but if you play Street Fighter, can you be Shaq?
You can be Balrog.
Okay, but can you be Shaq?
Yeah, that's just fake Mike Tyson.
Say technically, no, you cannot.
Well, there you go.
Okay, I mean, you got him there. You got all the deniers. You got him.
You know, I feel like I should have a good answer for this, but nothing is springing into my head right away. So I guess I would have to go with like No Man's Sky, which I seem to enjoy.
Yeah, that's it.
But
you do, yeah.
That's a good choice on this question here. You know, but yep.
But even then, I didn't play it until a couple months in when they patched out like some of the most annoying stuff apparently. So I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
You know,
go ahead, Todd.
I agree with the general public on the ratings of games, and you know, and I definitely agree with them on stuff like about Ghostbusters on the NES. With a friend of the show, Bob Hansen would say that it's the best game of all time when everybody knows it's a steaming pile of garbage.
That's a good one for him. Yeah, that's his answer. Him.
But for me, you know, the closest thing I can think is you guys did not really care for this game, but it's one of my all-time favorites, The Guardian Legend on the NES. The NES, as they say in the UK. That's one of my favorite games of all time, but that has a huge nostalgia factor for me. So that's probably going to be my choice, even though a lot of people do enjoy that one.
Yeah, that's a perfectly fine game. I wouldn't say it's bad or anything.
I pretty much hated it, I'm pretty sure, as far as I remember. If it's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, you did not care for it.
Mm. Oh, you also liked Mass Effect Andromeda, which... got the scorn of the internet reaped upon it.
Well, I would say it's not Mass Effect. It does not live up to being Mass Effect 4. It lives up to being just like a little romp around in the Mass Effect universe. Nothing to take home to mama. You know, it's just a game. It's a game.
It was number one of the Sweeties 2 years in a row. You said,
what did I say that?
Yeah.
No.
You're like, it's so good, I have to put it on here again.
Oh, okay. You know, I completely forgot.
Yeah, you don't remember that?
You're right. It is. And you know what? Screw everything. It's the best game of all time.
All right. It gets two DuckTales.
I love those alien people that look like giant fishes that are all stupid.
Oh, don't. I haven't played it yet. I just bought it. Don't spoil it.
Oh, no. Also, don't disparage fish.
They have cloacas.
Fish? Wait, what? Are they birds or are they fish?
What came first, the bird or the fish, man? Think about it.
The fish?
I think the fish did. I think that's pretty well settled, but... Eh, you never know. I guess this has already came up on this show. Mentioned frequently, but I guess I like those Parasite Eve games more than everyone else, seeing as how I've played them.
Yeah, I played all not three. 1 second, not 1 second of those.
There are three of them, Each more obscure than the last.
That just brought to mind, speaking of ripoffs of other series, do you guys remember the game Winback for N64?
No.
It was a Metal Gear Solid ripoff for the Nintendo.
I remember seeing it in the video store hundreds of times and never once renting it.
I played the hell out of that game.
Of course you did. Well then.
We might what'd
you say?
Also known as Operation Winback. Covert operations.
It is. It's covert operations.
Oh, God. That sounds horrible. We have to play it sometime. Oh, boy. Well, let's move on to new news. And I only have two small items this week.
No, we need to get a drop for this if we're going to keep doing it.
Oh, I have one. I'll just send it along.
Nice.
So two quick items this week, both about games we've played, just little updates. NBA Jam is being rebooted for its 25th anniversary. That should be good. They did do kind of a re-release of it a couple years ago.
Yeah, didn't they do that? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, on iPads, I believe.
iPads, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, they just capitalized. That's why I say it that way. iPads.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, well, I have a version for the PlayStation 3. Like it's like a digital only title, but it has it's modern day rosters and a whole bunch of like weird teams, like ex-presidents, that kind of thing. And it's fun, but from the sounds of it, it's a more significant reboot kind of project that
I would
doing.
Love if they just remade it with the original rosters. I don't want modern rosters.
You wanna?
But I'm sure that would be impossible.
John Stockton out there, yeah. And Carl Malone.
Give me Carl. Give me the mailman.
Always delivers. And the other quickie item here is a new trailer for Secret of Mana remake.
Really?
Ooh, yes. Mana.
There was a live stream earlier today. And I've not seen any information on it yet, probably because it was in Japanese. So, but no, it's
the trailer was in Japanese.
Well, I believe the trailer was in Japanese, but they had an hour and a half live stream event about the remake here. So, it is going to be coming out on the PS4, the Vita, and the PC.
Oh, the old Vita's still kicking, huh?
You know, here's the thing. Everything is announced as being for the Vita, and then it just gets delayed and not released.
No one can ever confirm that it ever came out.
Oh, that's I, you know what? I have a Vita. I actually like it.
Oh, boy.
It's nice. It's good for playing games. I know.
I guess it does its thing then.
It's
good. Is that their slogan? It's right in the box.
Hey, it's good for playing games. You ever thought about that?
Well, it's weird that like Sony put a lot of money and resources into the PSP and the Vita, which are both these nice little handheld systems that are way more powerful than the crap Nintendo's put out, and it does not matter. They just the PSP had by far the worst discs ever. I don't know. It's like they took the design from the NES for how you load up them discs, and then the Vita went like in the opposite direction where they're basically like these tiny little flash drives that you like flash cards that you feel like you're gonna lose. So
the Switch is like that. The discs on the Switch are like. A fingernail. It's insane.
I hate that. Yeah.
It's like, what am I going to do?
Like, I want, just give me something that feels like normal media. Like, just give me a disc. Like, what's wrong with a disc?
They get scratched.
God. I guess. But, I don't know. The Vita just never took off. I think it was kind of expensive when it came out. And, Like if you're using a handheld system, you probably don't care that it's super nice quality.
I mean, the majority of the handheld system buyers are the young. They skew younger. The older mm-hmm. folk are buying the console system. The younger folk are buying the portable.
Yeah,
it's usually just the only one is that Pokemon. Get that Pokemon.
Parents buying it because it's like a cheaper option, and it shuts the kids up. So that's who usually mm-hmm. gets it.
Yeah. Well, and also now at this point, like, if you want a handheld, you should just get a Switch. Like, that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that...
It's still a little big. It's not quite
a handheld system.
It's not
discreet.
But, well, I don't care about discreetness. It's just portability is... It's there, but it's not ideal.
Yeah. I mean,
the screen is exposed. Like, even the DS, you can fold up and throw in your pocket. I guess if you're wearing JNCOs, but like mm-hmm. the Switch, I just would be scared to take it out somewhere because I mean, it's hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, that's true. I mostly play my Vita, like if I have like 20 minutes to kill, like between assignments for work or something like that, and I'm just mm-hmm. I'm normally just sitting in my car, and right. it's either I'll play my Vita or I'll read a book. Like those are my two options normally.
Well, we all know the clear winner there.
Well, yeah, it's normally the Vita. But
I think you forgot your third option that I think you secretly take majority of the time. You crush them candies.
Oh, you know what? I have not been crushing candies lately.
Oh man,
how
like that?
You?
The Candy Crush is normally just if I am like literally just sitting like in public in like a lobby. Somewhere, like waiting for someone to come and get me, like that kind of thing.
Happens a lot. Just waiting for somebody to come.
Mommy, I'm ready.
When I'm literally waiting for the authorities to come out and talk to me.
That's true.
So, like that's basically the only time I'll do Candy Crush, and also that's like. At this point, I just normally read Facebook, and then if I get bored on Facebook, I'll pivot over to the old Candy Crushing.
What a millennial!
And then I go back to my car and I have a nice Tide Pod lunch, and then head over to my next assignment.
This has nothing to do with anything. Well, it kind of does, but I had a car appointment earlier this week, so like I sat and waited for it. It's just like normal checkup stuff. So I was there for like an hour, and an old lady came in and was like, hey, my check engine light's on. Can you guys just look at it and see if anything's wrong? So she sat there and waited for it. But she just sat there and just stared forward and was doing nothing. And I'm like, is that what old people do? Like, she's just used to not having like a phone or like anything. So she just sits there and stares and does and just sits there. Like that just like baffled me. Like I guess she's just not used to being able to constantly be doing something. So she can just like sit there and like think about stuff. Like I don't know. Like she didn't have like a book or something. She just sat there and stared forward. Wow. It just threw me off.
Yeah.
While I'm looking at my phone doing nothing.
I cannot handle that, like just doing nothing. I have to.
Are you sure she wasn't
read a book or
she wasn't like a lizard person?
Well, once she started blinking sideways, I understood.
Yeah, you're sure?
It all
sure
clicked.
She wasn't
was
a board.
Licking her
maybe?
Lips the whole time.
Yeah, was she uploading her mind to the hive?
She could have been meditating, like a well-adjusted person.
No. Well, Todd, did you receive any asks this week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? We got an ask. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. send in all your asks to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep it anonymous. This one is from Anonymous, and it's titled, How to Get My Friend to Stop Stealing from Me? I met this girl at work, and she seems like the biggest drama queen. She's always complaining and running her mouth about her family and anyone you can think of. She's the type of person who acts like only they have problems. And my dumb beep just listens and feels sorry for her. We live next to each other, so I have been giving her rides to our job. But it's like whenever I take her anywhere, it's like I always have money missing. But this girl is so fake and such a sneaky liar that she would be ready to cry if you excused her. Please, how to stop getting robbed? I'm tired of her complaining about being broke, but thinking that she could just steal all my money too. So I have nothing to.
I mean, it seems like he has zero evidence of her stealing.
No, all the evidence is right there. Like, she drove her to work and she didn't have money when she got her purse out.
I mean, if you're assuming this is a woman writing, I mean, this is anonymous.
Oh, true. It could be taken from his wallet.
Yes. You sexist. That led to my answer, which was going to be rub your balls on all your money, but I guess you can't if you're a woman. just as like a little get back, I mean, if it's going to be missing. But, I mean, maybe set up a camera in your car, see if you can catch her in the act. Or at your cubicle, whatever job you have.
I mean, if the goal is to conserve some money here, though, like, you probably can't buy an expensive camera system.
Well, I don't think it's conserving money. It's just...
It's a little catch-22 there. If all her money is being stolen, what money is she going to use to buy a camera?
Gift of the Magi here. That's a good point. Well, I go back to my original answer of rub your balls on all your money. Oh. Whatever balls you have.
Oh.
Now, that's going to go either. That's going to go in a one way or the other. There's no middle ground on that. Either they're going to stop taking your money, or they're going to take even more and fill the bathtub with it.
What I would do, once you give her a ride the next day, whatever gender you are, she'll be like, oh yeah, I started doing this thing where I just rub my balls on all my money. It's pretty cool. And then maybe that'll make them, you know, second guess themselves.
I have a novel idea. There are now these places called banks that you can store your money when you don't immediately need it, and they'll even give you a card that you can then use to use your money without having to have the money on you, and you just keep that card in your pocket. It's called an Adam card. So just use that Adam card at places when you need to, where you would normally use money.
Well, I mean, if you want to give all your hard-earned money to the man, then sure.
Better to give it to the man than that man stealing from you, though.
Or this woman.
Yes.
Yeah, this girl at work.
I use a little bank called My Balls.
The BTM.
I think we helped that person. Were you gonna weigh in there, Todd? Or
I was gonna say you should do like you should bait her, which is like you pick her up to take her to work, and then you're like, hey, I'm getting a little hungry. I could go for a McGriddle right now. Let me count my money. I have $25 in my hand right now. I only need $5 for this McGriddle. So I'll leave a $20 bill right here on my dashboard and go inside and buy my McGriddle. And I hope it's there when I get back. And then you come back to the car, and that's when you can tell. Is she a sneaky thief or a good person, an honest person?
That's not bad. Yeah, or maybe just like every time she gets in the car, just pull your wallet out and count your money out loud and then put it back. or a purse or whatever. And then when, like, once you get to work, be like, well, time to count my money again. Just kind of get it in her head that you're keeping an eye on her.
Mm.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
It's like when the parents put the lines on their liquor bottles before they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good idea. I was trying to figure out what I should do when my kids get older.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not giving up that that sweet nectar.
No. Why would you?
Sonny boy has to earn it on his own. Well, on that note, Todd, is there anything else you want to say before we signed off here?
Sure. The self-destruct sequence has been activated.
Oh.
Repeat. The self-destruct sequence has been activated. This sequence may not be aborted. All employees proceed to the emergency car at the bottom of the platform.
Wow. Is that from the Umbrella Factory?
Please.
Yeah, that is some built-in announcements they have at the old Umbrella Corp.
Please. Oh, nice. Huel, anything else you want to add?
Stuck? Come across a new room with nothing to do and nowhere to go? Try using items. Pushing, climbing, investigating, etc.
Oh, very helpful. And on that note, here is a snifferoo from next week's game.
Welcome to Squaresoft's Game of War. Final Fantasy Tactics. A brutal conflict of epic proportions, where you lead hundreds of battles into a new Final Fantasy world. Be clever, be ruthless, or be dead. In Final Fantasy Tactics, you are Ramza, a young warrior whose courage could save the kingdom from itself. Battle after battle, you'll build and train an army from 20 fighting classes and other warriors you meet. Knights, mages, summoners, and more. Master and balance their talents, and they will reward you with victory. Equip your army with the best weapons and armor you can afford. Your army will be strong in battle, and you'll be confident in your attack. Just before battle, size up your enemy. What are their strengths? Their abilities? How are they deployed? Master the movement of battle. Divide and conquer the enemy. Control the flow and always fight from positions of strength. When you attack, use your arsenal to find and target their weak links. In Final Fantasy Tactics, a kingdom is in the balance, and though history may not remember, you must stand to save all. May you conquer the enemy, or may you die trying. Final Fantasy Tactics, from Squaresoft. Only on PlayStation.